gospel in chapter 1. We'll be picking up in verse 5 momentarily. This morning we're going to be bringing our Christmas series to an end. And one of the things I'd like you to remember are these three C's. My hope is, as we're looking at these five common fears that even Christians have, and there are more than simply five, but we're considering five based on the characters, the actual people that we see in the Christmas account. But I'd like us to come away from it with clarity as to why we can avoid these fears. I want us to be able to understand with confidence, because our confidence is in the very inspired word of our Heavenly Father that He gives us to help us during these troubling times and when these fears come our way. And at the same time, I want you to be able to move forward with strength, with courage. I'm hoping for clarity, confidence, and courage to carry us through the end of this year and into the beginning and through the end of next as well. So if you turn to page 5 in your notes, we're going to pick up with the next fear. We have observed four fears. We saw Mary's inadequacy. We then looked to Joseph and observed his fear of disapproval. We then moved on to the shepherds and recognized that they had unexpected change in their lives. And then we considered this, I'll just say Herod. We considered King Herod and his fear of losing control. So this morning we're going to pick up Zechariah's fear. And Zechariah's fear is the fear of being disappointed. Disappointed, that's your fill-in. Zechariah and Elizabeth had prayed for years and years and years and years to have a child, the baby. But it hadn't happened. They had one setback after another. When Zechariah found out that Elizabeth was pregnant, he looked at it with disbelief. He didn't believe it. He was afraid to get his hopes up for fear that he might be yet disappointed again. So join me here in Luke 1, picking up in verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest by the name of Zechariah. And Zechariah, his first name means Yahweh remembers. And I thought it was appropriate that he was named that, thinking about how he and Elizabeth had prayed over a number of years to be able to have a baby. He was of the division of Abijah, and he had a wife from the daughters of Aaron, from the lineage of Moses' brother, Aaron. And her name was Elizabeth. And that means, her name means, my God is my oath. And they were both righteous before God, walking blamelessly in all the commandments and statutes of the Lord. And by that, they did not walk perfectly in keeping the commandments, but their lives were spent wanting with all their heart to be pleasing to God. They really meant this in their hearts. But they had no child because Elizabeth was barren and both were advanced in years, kind of like Mrs. Pastor and me, advanced in years. Now, while he was serving as priest before God with his division, while his division was on duty, according to the customs of the priesthood, He was chosen by lot to enter the temple of the Lord and to burn incense. And we'll see and have a better understanding in just a moment. Incense is burned inside the temple as a symbol of our prayers being offered up to God. As the incense is lit, then the smoke will waft in an upward direction, and it's symbolic of all of our prayers being offered to Him. And incense has an aroma to it, and our Heavenly Father finds our prayers to have a lovely aroma when we talk to Him. And the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. Here we go again. Somebody's going to get a shock, because bear in mind, Zechariah's gone in to the temple and he's the only human being in there. No one else is supposed to be there. So if you run into somebody else while you're there, it's going to be a little disconcerting. And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him. Yeah, I bet he was. And fear fell upon him. And the angel said to him, again, these angels, sure bet, you know, don't be afraid. Right. The angel said to him, don't be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you shall call his name John. And he's been nicknamed the Baptist. He is the cousin of our Lord Jesus. And you will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. And isn't that exactly the way it is when our kids come into the world? Joy and gladness, great joy. My goodness, when Mindy came and then Julie came and Ronnie came, there was all kinds of wonderful joy and gladness, I know, in my heart. And poor Kath, she was glad it was just all over. Rejoicing will take place at John's birth, for he will be great before the Lord. What a wonderful thing to know, if you believed it at this time. And Zechariah, he's been disappointed in so many things, and he's not exactly sure how he should be thinking about this. But his son, John, is going to be great. Great according to what the Lord wants him to do. Not great in terms of, well, my son's an attorney, or my daughter, she's a doctor, or my, you know, one of these very auspicious careers that we see some of our kids go into. This is, your son here is going to be great before the Lord. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice, we didn't have the filling of the Holy Spirit until we confessed and repented of our sins. After Jesus went to the cross, after his resurrection, having paid for our sins on the cross. And he must not drink wine or strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even from his mother's womb. And he will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. I remember when I could not have been a believer more than, I don't know, maybe a month. And Tom Logan, former race car driver, and he was our college sponsor. And he came to me and he shared with me, because he wanted to know what I was going to be pursuing and what I was taking in college. And I was sharing all that with him, my plans, not God's plans, my plans. And he said, Ron, If God ever calls you to be a missionary, don't you stoop to be a king. And John will turn many of the children of Israel to the Lord their God. And he will go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just and make ready for the Lord's people. Make ready for the Lord a people prepared. Now, that passage is pregnant, but that would require a whole other two Sundays to go through. And Zechariah said to the angel, "How shall I know this?" Oh, Zechariah. How should I know this? My goodness, you just had an angel, Zechariah, come right from God in heaven. He is a messenger of the most holy God. How shall I know this? For I am an old man, like Ron. Oh, it doesn't say that. And my wife is advanced in years. Not my little Chicky Lou. And the angel answered him, "I am Gabriel, the same one who met with Mary. I stand in the presence of God." Whoa. "And I was sent to speak to you." God has sent Gabriel specifically to encounter and communicate with Zechariah. "I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news. And behold, you will be silent and unable to speak until the day that these things take place." Why? "Because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time." All these fears, backtracking here, family, inadequacy, disapproval, unexpected change, losing control, and disappointment are incredibly common for Christians to face. I've seen each of them disrupt thriving, mature Christians' lives and ministries being led by leaders in the church. If you're facing any of these fears, it doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. Doesn't mean there's something gone wacko with you. You're not defective, nor is your ministry. If you have members in there who are confessing, "Well, I don't think we can do that because of," and whatever the fill-in may be. These fears are common. They show you simply that you're human. You're human. Like your pastor. I can honestly say, not on simply one occasion, have I, before I came to Christ, and since I have been saved by him, had these fears. More than once. More than a dozen times, I would guess, each. You will face fears. No amount of life experience can prepare you for them when they come, if you're not listening to what he has to say in this three-part message. And no message of mine can inoculate you from the fears that come. Your fleshliness, your humanness, because you're human, can embrace them. But you have another choice to be able to make in your spirit. So as you look at your notes, so what do you do with your fears? And I'm glad you asked. Number one, you've heard this before, but number one, first, surrender. Surrender yourself to Jesus. Surrender. Would you say that out loud with me? Surrender. Surrender to who?
Jesus.
Surrender yourself to Jesus. David tells us in Psalm 31, verse 24, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who wait for the Lord. We need to be waiting upon Him. We need to seek first the kingdom of God, and He's going to supply us whatever our needs are going to be. He told us, seek and you will what? So we need to rest upon Him. Now He's going to talk about things to rest upon as we go through this morning's message. David also told us in Psalm 56, verses 3 through 4, when I am afraid, King David, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. He's talking to who? He's talking to Yahweh. He's talking to the one true living God. When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. How does one put trust in someone that they don't know? Pretty hard, isn't it? You know, it was hard to convince people when I used to wear a uniform and a badge to trust me when they first meet me, because they're going through a hellish experience and I want to get them out of that car that's on fire. But they're not sure that I can really get them out and help them. So I have to enter in. I have to go into the fire with them and show them I'm here to help you. And then they'll put their arms around my neck and I could carry them out or rip them out, whichever needed to be done. But this is why so many of our brothers and sisters have a hard time with their fear, is that, as David says, when I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. But we can't put our trust just willy-nilly, very quickly, into someone we don't know. And unfortunately, I hear people who profess Christ and they really don't know Him because they don't trust Him. They trust Him, as I said, I think last week or the week before, for their salvation. But for the day to day, the month to month, the year to year, oh, no, no, can't trust Him. I have to do that on my own. That makes no sense, except for in this. Their relationship with Him is weak at best. David, not so. In verse 4, he says, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. He trusts in the living, active word of God. What God says here, he believes it. He's seen it come to pass in his own life. He's being used of God, the Holy Spirit, to write these things to us. And he says, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? What can another person do to me? Can they malign me? Well, is that any big deal when God, my Father, loves me and God has a plan for me and God is overseeing all of my life every day, 24/7, 7 days a week? I mean, they can take my life even. And I'll be ushered immediately right into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more disease, no more of the junk of this world at all. Set free at last. Luke tells us in his gospel as he quotes our Lord Jesus, and Jesus said to all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. What we see him doing, we should be doing ourselves. We should be manifesting the very character of our Lord and not keeping it secret, but to publicly confess him and to live for him daily. Family, we need to wake up every morning and we need to die to self. As I shared with you months back, about this wonderful pastor, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, who was put to death by Adolf Hitler, at the latter, literally the latter days of World War II, but he wrote a whole book on Come and Die. Come and Die. A disciple does exactly that. He or she comes and die. We need to die to self. Jesus is saying to us, come and die. Do nothing from selfish ambition. Do nothing from self-promotion. Don't be selfish. Follow me. What you see me doing, you do. I'm your example, he says. Remember we, the promise of we, you and the Holy Spirit. You are the one that has now within you this great potential. You have the omniscient, all ever present, all-powerful Holy Spirit living within you. And so often we just let him be there. Help someone else. We don't call on him. It's a Christmas gift, family. It's a benefit that comes with Jesus coming into the world, that we have the Holy Spirit 24/7. Action step. Before you get out of bed each morning, start your day, if not with this prayer, with a similar prayer, okay? And you can make it much longer. Mine are, Father, I surrender this day to you. I surrender my past, my present, my future. Let the Holy Spirit fill you with hope, optimism, positivity, encouragement. And as that takes place, he will empty you of your worry, of your fears. Where your focus goes, what?
Your energy flows.
Your energy flows. If your focus is on the world, the flesh, and that creep, that's where your energy is going to go. You're running right back into the family of hell. What's the point of that? Stay adopted son or daughter in his family and let him rid you of your fear. Surrender yourself, number one. Second, stop listening to the voices of fear. Stop listening to the voices of fear. Say that with me. Stop listening to the voices of fear. They're all around you. You hear them in church. Oh, woe's me, you know. How was your week? Oh, I saw the doctor six times. I mean, I bet none of you know that I spent 36 hours in bed this week, do you? I mean, don't listen to the voices of fear. Nobody gives a rip that I was in bed for 36 hours. Who cares? Oh, thank you, Geraldine. That's not true. She sent me all these, I won't say. But anyway, no fruitcake. We did have that discussion, though. We had that discussion. That was the problem. I was in bed for 36 hours. Excuse me. I mean, we have the voices of fear, you know, in the print material. You see it as you walk in the Starbucks. There's the newspaper and fear, 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 fear. You know, you watched the news last night. Fear, 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 fear. You know, you watch the cable stations. Fear, 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 fear. And the cable stations, they just repeat each other. Why don't they just have one cable station? I don't understand that. But at any rate, you know, you can't even get away from it. At Starbucks, you hear people, on and on they go. I walk in the line, they made my drink go up another 35 cents. Stop listening to the voices of fear. They're going to be everywhere. But listen to this. Mark's Gospel, chapter 4, verse 40. Jesus said to them, "Why are you so afraid?" Jesus is looking into their faces and he's saying, here, why are you so afraid? But here it is in the living, active, authoritative Word of God for us. And here it is out loud for us to hear and to listen to what he's saying. Jesus is saying to you this morning, as he has said to me all week and yesterday multiple times as I went through the manuscript, as I'm reading this passage of Scripture one more time, Jesus is saying, Ron, why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith? Think about it. What are your fears? God is for you. Your Heavenly Father adores you. The Holy Spirit died for you, Jesus died for you. The Holy Spirit said, I will live with you, miserable as that will be, forever. Why have we no faith? John quotes our Lord Jesus, and Jesus says, peace I leave with you. And bear in mind when he says, Irene, I leave with you. This is not, it's just a really peace, quiet day. No phone calls. Don't have to go to work today. My goodness, you know, just a peace. No, it's not that kind of peace at all. It's a peace that surpasses our human understanding. It is a supernatural peace that comes through our prayers, our supplication, our humility before the Lord in our prayers. And this is a peace that we don't understand that comes because my stepdad, who I love so much and did not want him to die and go to hell, he died and went to hell. What do I do with that? I have to find a place to be able to ask the Lord for that peace. And he brings it. He brings it at the death of a loved one. He brings it when your dearest friend is in the hospital and suffering from cancer. He brings this Irene peace. It is supernatural to his children. Jesus says, Irene, I leave with you. My Irene, I give to you. Not as the world gives. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let the... Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't let these fears come. I can give you my peace. All you have to do is go to him. Get up with him in the morning. Talk with him. Commit your day to him. Surrender to him. And decide, I'm not going to listen to these voices of fear. I'm going to pick up the Word of God and I'm going to read it out loud and I'm going to listen and take the voice in the hearing, and if there's something there specifically for me to do, I'm going to do it. I'm not going to not even think about the Word of God. Not even remember I have a Bible. That's why so many Christians find themselves in the midst of fears and they don't know what to do about it because they won't go to the very one who's already done something about it and will lead you out. He'll lead you out because he loves you and it's his promise to you. Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons. And the principle there, you have received the adoption of sons and daughters, by whom we cry, Abba, Abba, Father. Not God way out there and The other side of the universe who isn't interested in me. But my heavenly Papa, who loves me. Who loves me so very much. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear. Well, who gives us a spirit of fear then? The world, the flesh, and the devil. For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Remember who you are in Christ Jesus. You need to remember, I am a son. You are a daughter of the Most High God. And when that Holy Spirit came within you, he came with that dunamis, that explosive power, that omnipotent power comes with the Holy Spirit and in you. And along with you came love and joy and peace and patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, self, all of those things. And he's expressing them again. But that power, that dunamis power, and love, that agape love, that ability to love others and seek their best and highest good as Jesus did for you. That's why he came at Christmas. That's the gift that keeps on giving. But the power of love, this kind of supernatural love and supernatural self-control. I feel so bad. When I, no thinking, it's not in the spirit, it's in the flesh. And I say something that's unkind, something that is mean to someone. Because here I've been reminded once again, I have the self-control. I have this ability to have this wonderful supernatural self-control. I don't have to say anything mean to somebody. I may need to come alongside and correct someone, but the Spirit of God will help me as he helps me in my counseling ministry to come alongside people. I mean, they have messed up big time. Their sins are really glowing sins. But they don't need me to sit there and point my finger and stick them in the eye. They need me to come alongside and say, okay, we understand what's gone wrong here, right? Yeah. And hand them the living, active, inspired Word of God. And say, what does our Lord say about that? Well, he says, I should go about doing this and not that. And right. I don't need to. You know, some of us we think it's a spiritual gift to come alongside and lose our self-control with people and say mean things to them. That is not a spiritual gift unless it happens to be from the evil one. Action step. If you hang around fearful people, you'll become fearful. Does that make sense? If you hang around fearful people, you'll become fearful. So turn those voices off. Get it? All right. You've likely heard the old cliche. If you want to soar with the eagles, you got to stop running with the turkeys. Right? That's a great lesson for us to remember. But it also has ramifications for us spiritually. You should invest less time in certain relationships because they'll drag you down and potentially make you fearful. I found that there are two very pronounced kinds of people in the world. You know, there other some people have other different wonderful giftings, I guess I will call it. But I find people who are depleters, and then there are people who are refreshers. And if you find that you're with a group of people, a person far too often who is a depleter, then you need to, you know, go up and take their hand, put your arm around their shoulder or something, and just tell them, you know what? I love you in Christ. I really do. I want to seek your best, your highest good. And I think I've been doing that at my expense. But I want you to know, in that love, because I want to keep our relationship going really well, I need to step away from our relationship for a time, maybe for a very long time. You do it in a nice way, like that. If you hang out with people who have no ambition, are you going to be surprised if you have very little ambition? Or are they the ones that rip you up because you're trying to have ambition and do something with yourself? If you hang out with critical people, I guarantee you this, you're going to be a critical person. It runs in families. Kids oftentimes will follow the parent in good things and in the not so good things. The people you spend the most time around will influence you, and that's what you're going to be like on your day-to-day basis. So first, we surrender ourselves in fullness to Christ. Second, we stop listening to the voices of fear. And third, fill your mind with music that praises the Lord. Fill your mind with music that praises the Lord. Say that with me. I need to fill my mind with music that praises the Lord. And then write these down. Ephesians 5:19. And in Colossians 3:16. You'll see it right there. The Holy Spirit puts it right in your eyeballs. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Fill your mind with music that praises the Lord. These God-breathed scriptures, the inspired word of God, teaches over and over that praise is the antidote to fear. It is. If you sit down and spend 3 minutes, just 3 minutes, family, put your watch on or pull out your phone and set that timer. 3 minutes. And just go from, I'm thanking the Lord for, well, I'm going to thank the Lord for my great salvation. I'm going to thank the Lord for his introducing me to himself. I'm going to thank the Lord for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to thank the Lord for the Holy Spirit who walks with me every single day and puts up with me. I'm going to thank the Lord for Kathy Nelson Seidel. My goodness, what a great gift she's been to me. I'm going to thank the Lord for Mindy and Julie and, yeah, Ronnie. And I'm going to thank the Lord for my grandkids, and I'm going to thank the Lord for this church family. I'm going to thank the Lord for the car I get to drive. I'm going to thank the Lord for Annette putting up with me, almost like my wife, not 50 years, but pretty close. You know, as you start going through this whole thing of thanking the Lord, thanksgiving, prayers of thanksgiving, or just naming your blessings, the fear just goes away. Goes away. But you got to change your focus, because where your focus goes, your energy flows. Okay. Mary practiced, well, let's look back here. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all your anxieties, all your fears, all your troubles on him. Who? Jesus. Because what? He cares for you. He cares for you. The Son of God cares about his brother, and he cares about his sister. Yes, Nina, he really does. Mary, the mother of our Lord, practiced this principle in the Christmas account of filling her mind with music. Have you ever noticed that as you read this portion of Luke 1:46-55? Listen to what she says. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Now just remember, she's just gone through a period of time here where she finds not only is she unique, but she is inadequate for this. I'm going to be the mother of the Son of God? And think of this. I mean, the fear of disapproval. What are my parents going to say? What's Joseph and his parents going to say? What's the village going to say? These fears that she has. And here she's talking about, my soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And bear in mind, Mary needed a Savior. She wasn't born sinless. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. She's casting all her anxieties on God. And he's looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, for now all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me. This omnipotent God has done great things for me, and holy is his name. When life is going in a direction of all these fears, you've been disapproved of. You find that people have done things, and now your life has completely changed. You find yourself inadequate for what lies ahead of you. Do you find yourself telling the Lord that, oh, mighty God that you are, and holy is your name? Or do you find yourself going in a different direction? Why are you letting this happen to me, God? I'm your favorite. I don't think so. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his omnipotence, his arm. He has scattered the proud and the thoughts of their heart. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones. I don't know if she's thinking about the wicked kings of Israel, or she's being prophetic and thinking of Herod, who's going to go down, 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 doobie, down, 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 not too shortly after the Lord's birth. And he's brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. Humility. He exalts those of humility. And has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel to remember in remembrance of his mercy. And he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever. We need to fill our hearts and our minds with music for praise for our Lord. And this will help to move away our fears. Fourth, base your hope on the promises of God. Base your hope on the promises of God. Fact, hope can't be based on what you think. Can't be based on what you think. It's based on what Jesus promises. That's for us, his brothers and sisters. His promises are the sure thing. David wrote Psalm 56 in verses 3 through 4, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. Is that what you do when you're afraid? When you're being disapproved of? When you find yourself with one of these fears? Is that what you say? When I'm afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God's trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? We saw that just a few minutes ago. Colossians chapter 1, verses 21 through 22. And you, who once were alienated, hostile in mind, and doing evil deeds, that's all of you and me,
And you, who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he, Jesus, has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you holy, set apart, hagios, and blameless and above reproach before him. Man, this gift of Jesus coming into the world as a baby and growing up to be the God-man, this is a Christmas gift that just keeps on giving. We are in the presence of him who is holy, blameless, and above reproach. Check these promises out in your Bible concordance. If you don't have a Bible concordance, go online. Go online. Atonement for sin, justification, forgiveness, sanctification, love, faithfulness, peace, guidance, help, and so many other things. These are Christmas gifts, family. These are Christmas gifts that affect you eternally. He won't withdraw them from you. You may feel like it, but don't trust those feelings because he's given them to you eternally. Action step, memorize the promises of our Heavenly Father and lean on them when you're afraid. Neil T. Anderson was one of my professors in seminary, and I spent a great deal of time with him when I was studying in Israel. And he wrote in this book that he and another man authored, he said, and I quote, "Fear is a thief." Think about it. Fear steals from you. Fear is a thief. It erodes our faith, plunders our hope, steals our freedom, and takes away our joy of living the abundant life in Christ. Phobias are like the coils of a snake. The more you give into them, the tighter they squeeze. Tired of fighting, we succumb to the temptation and surrender to our fears. But what seemed like an easy way out becomes, in reality, a prison of unbelief, a fortress of fear that holds us captive. We don't have to let that happen. We have a supernatural, all-powerful Holy Spirit to protect us if we'll let him. Turn to him. I don't know which fear is holding you back, if any of them, or maybe a different fear that hasn't even been addressed here in the Christmas story. Maybe it's one of the five mentioned in this message. Maybe it's something else, but I do believe that if you take these four courageous action steps, you can move past any fear. The five mentioned or others that have not been addressed. In principle, I believe you can apply the same passages of Scripture and find freedom. The fact is this, when you surrender to our Lord Jesus, listen to his voice. Take up your Bibles. He's not going to scream at you from heaven. And if he does, call the mental health specialist. Listen to his voice and praise him. And base your hope on his promises. Your fears will become stepping stones to what Jesus wants to do through your life and leaders, also through your ministry. Jesus came to proclaim liberty to the captives. And in principle, I believe that includes those held captive by fear. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Jesus is in a synagogue. This is his declaration that I'm the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives in recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. He also says that truth is the key to freedom. John 8:32, and you will know the truth, and the truth will what?
Set you free.
It'll set you free. Do you believe the truth? Do you use the truth? This is a promise. And here is truth. Father God is good. More than good. But Psalm 119:68 tells us so. Abba, Father, is love, as we see in 1 John 4:18 and verse 16. And he has a future filled with hope for his children, for you and for me, brothers and sisters elsewhere in Christ, Jeremiah 29:11 and Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. Our Heavenly Father is a refuge and a fortress family, a shield and a defender for those who trust in him. Check it out, Psalm 91, verses 2 through 4. These are promises, family. My hope, as you have heard the Christmas message these last 3 weeks in a different form for certain, my prayers are that you will grow in your conviction that Jesus is the answer to all your fears. That as you look to the future, you will see nothing except his power and love guarding your every step. And that you will find the truth that sets you as an individual, you as a couple, your family, this church family, free to live fearless, a fearless life that Jesus created for us to enjoy. I want you to read this following psalm with me aloud. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. And I want you to read it not in the reading monotone voice. I want you to read it with the fact that you know I'm a son, I'm a daughter, you're a daughter, of the Most High God. And he has demonstrated more than several dozen ways this morning how important you are to him and why Christmas exists. It exists for you and for me and our friends who have yet to come to know him. Let's read this aloud with strength and joy in our own hearts. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Get it, family? Get it? One last, there's so much encouragement from reading the living word. In Isaiah 26:3, he says, you will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. And if your relationship is not strong yet with the Lord Jesus Christ, all I can say is, there is a wonderful aspect of the Christmas gift waiting for you. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you. You need to be trusting him, literally. All those thoughts are fixed on you. Where my energy is flowing, it's because my focus is there. So I focus on the Lord Jesus. I focus on him, and he's going to keep me. I'll be safe with him. You'll be safe with him. You'll be safe with him. Let's pray. Abba, thank you. Thank you for wanting to help us to look at this wonderful historical account of you sending your son into the world, the God-man. And for us to move beyond this wonderful child that we see in Scripture briefly, We see him as this little one, and then before we know it, in the Gospels, he is grown up, and he is full of everything that manifests the very presence of God, because he is God. And he has cried out to us time and time again. We need not fear. We need to just take up our crosses daily and follow him. We need to lay down ourselves as it were to, if we were to die. We need to die to ourselves and not be selfish, not to be all absorbed with me, myself, and I, but to be absorbed with your Son, Father God. Oh, please, may Jesus be the one we begin our day with. May it be he that we walk with throughout our day, every day, taking up our crosses daily. For I believe that you mean it when you say, if we don't take up our crosses daily, then we cannot be your disciples. And if we're not your disciples, then we are unsaved. So please, help us every day, to put our fears aside, to come back to these message notes, to follow the scriptures, to meditate upon them alone with you, and for you to bring that courage back into our lives. Help us to be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might as we face each day, Father. For we ask it in Jesus' Christmas name, the name that keeps on giving, the name Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, the one whom we live to serve. Amen.